Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And James Duggan.
Salt.
Sean Finnegan is out for Christmas vacation. He will be back after the break. Speaking of the break, we are going to be taking a little bit of a hiatus. We're doing one more episode this year after this one, and then we are taking potentially a two-week break, 1 week, 2 weeks. We'll see. We'll be back in early January, so be looking up for the next episode then. But a lot of us have family that we want to see, and we're taking vacations.
I have the family.
That's what they tell me.
I have all the kids. So.
But you're getting an episode this week. You're definitely getting one next week, and then we'll be back shortly after that. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Masterworks. We're going to be talking about the Raid Lair. We're going to be talking about The Dawning and Bungie's decision to delay faction rallies in Iron Banner until they can get their stuff together. So let's get right into it. Last episode, we were really, really salty. Let's talk about the positive experience of the Osiris DLC, and that is the Raid Lair.
Yes.
All of us kind of enjoyed it. I enjoyed a lot about it. CJ, why don't you start with your positive impression?
I also enjoyed
a lot of it.
Or
negative.
No, very positive. I actually thought the Raid Lair encounter, specifically the last boss, Argos, was probably one of the best encounters in Destiny ever. Actually.
Ever.
Wow. Yeah, just the mechanics of actually playing him, the coordination, the fact that he's a major enemy, mantling, shooting each of those things in timing. Just, there's a bunch of things about it that you don't ever do in any other Destiny encounter. And I thought it was really good.
Jumping off of that, not talking about the mechanics, I did enjoy the mechanical part, but just saw Star Wars, so
exactly.
I'm really into like art direction right now.
Yes. Everyone's gonna tune out because if the
I really like the art direction, and in the Raid Lair, they do some fantastic stuff with as you're going through it for the first time, you get to see like rooms that have just been designed in a way that are very visually stunning, and I really really appreciated that. Duggan, what did you think?
I love it. I think
we played together.
Yeah, we played it. By the way, we one shot the final.
Yeah, we did.
Nicely done.
Thank you to Stev and team for setting
that. No, it was all us, Fran.
To be fair, they were surprised at the end. They're like, how did we do? Well, this team needs to go
Stev
every week.
Lifted.
I know, Steve.
So we're pretty, we're awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we're really good. The final boss fight, superb. And then everything leading up to it, I also really enjoyed. I agree that it had some remarkably visually evocative moments. The waterfall, the kind of dark, watery chamber. You're jumping from platform to platform, and you get
the gun. The gun for me was,
and then
the
gun is like the pinnacle, and that shoots you out to this final encounter, which in and of itself was just great. Everything about it. The kind of first phase where you break all the stuff off, and then the actual fight. I loved. I love that idea of like cooking these things and then using them to weaken, and then you jump up and you're shooting weak points all the while. There's platforms with different adds. It was remarkable. Really good.
I really like it. Fran, what did you think? Sorry,
I
was going to go somewhere with that, and I forgot.
No, it's okay. Maybe we should avoid spoiling anything, but that's up to you. But no, I mean, I don't think you did. But Overall, yeah, I really enjoyed the Raid Lair. I remember hearing about Raid Lairs and thinking like, why is it a lair? And is it just a couple other rooms in the Leviathan? And as it turns out, it's actually like, it has that Crota's End vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's fast, but it's very, you know, interesting. It's different. It doesn't feel like I'm really in the Leviathan. I feel like I'm in the underbelly and there's this other stuff going on. So I really enjoyed the look and the feel, and it feels different. It's exactly what I needed with a piece of it, DLC expansion. Yeah. Without it, it'd be just like a bunch of new weapons and stuff that looks different. And you'd be like, I don't know. But the raid is substantial enough that I'm like, oh, it's pretty cool. Yeah. And I really, the end boss, I really enjoyed. Very cool mechanics. I've only played it once. I can't wait to go back.
Yeah. So what I wanted to say after I let you say your piece really quick was if I had to be critical, it is an encounter that you kind of traverse through, and you basically have one boss that you fight. So it is a lair, and I wonder if Bungie's going to do this, like give us pieces of a raid with the Rasputin DLC coming up, et cetera, et cetera.
It's funny. That's the same description of the Leviathan raid, though. A bunch of encounters and then one boss fight.
Yeah.
Meaning it just is funny, but we're now in a state where there's really, I mean, the dogs, I don't know if you count that, but.
Well, like, there are challenges, like you hit roadblocks in that and you have to defeat a difficult challenge. You have the dogs, you have the gauntlet, you have Bass, and then you have the final.
Leviathan
encounter.
Does have more.
So Leviathan has four layers, where this one has, this is one layer. This is like part one. They're like, well, we got the first part done. Let's put that with the DLC. I still really enjoyed it. I like that it's a little shorter. And once you get the mechanics down as a team, I think you're going to be able to get through it fairly quick in an hour or two, maybe.
Sure. It seems super efficient, even playing through it again a second time. I actually enjoyed it a lot more the second time, although it was very difficult. We tried to bring a few new people into it. And I just feel like there's a lot to do with explaining the mechanics, like Doug was saying, the weak points, the boss, actually the fact that you feel like there's some verticality to when you're climbing up and finding those points. That is something I don't think that's ever been done in Destiny really before, where you feel like the boss is actually attacking you. There's always a DPS phase with the boss, but this one was actually attacking
you. Yeah, it was very interactive. And the other thing they did that was brilliant was, and I think one of the reasons why we were able to complete it successfully on the first attempt was they introduced those mechanics of like cooking the, or empowering those, heads, right? Why am I spacing on the name?
Well,
the
making the weapon you need.
Right. The lasers.
Yeah. Making the lasers and empowering them with a different thing, different elemental effect, and then using them. And you do that before you even start the encounter. So you already have an idea. You know, it's like introducing a plot line in act one of a film and then following through on act three. And so in that sense, it was pretty intuitive. And as somebody who doesn't have a ton of Destiny raid experience, like obviously I've done the Leviathan, but it all translates. I found raiding experience and boss mechanics translate from one game to the next. And I was able to assume what we should be doing. And usually I was correct. And if I wasn't, it wasn't the biggest deal.
Yeah.
Still difficult though.
So basically we all really like the raid layer. What did you guys think though? Let us know in the comments below. Let's get a little bit interactive. We can read some of them on the final episode of the year. Let's move on to Masterworks. Masterworks was another new addition with a December 12th update. Masterworks allow you to have perks on your weapon if you haven't been paying attention to this.
Additional stats.
It is a little bit difficult to get 10 core pieces. You have to get Masterworks and then dismantle them.
You want to convert a weapon.
If you want to convert
a weapon.
You
could just get a drop.
Yes. You get 1, 2, 3... maybe four, but
I haven't seen
most
four.
I've ever gotten is three.
Yeah.
Or
I think it's 1 to 3 is what I've
been gotten.
When you
two
shred
and three
a masterwork.
When shredding. Yeah. Exactly.
Like in theory, you could shred what? 4 masterworks and maybe you'd have enough to convert. But with the RNG.
So on the low end it would be 10, right? On low end 4, high end 10.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So I have a few of these. I got an origin story, which is awesome because that's one of my favorite ARs. And I got a sidearm, which I didn't like as much. But anyway, one of the perks across the board that you get is orb generation.
Magazines. No, I'm joking. One more bullet.
It's coming. Yeah.
It's maybe 10% on magazine, which is like –
nothing.
Three more bullets on some stuff.
Hey, you start stacking that with sweet business with the Acti War Rig, and then you're shooting for another quarter of a second or whatever.
Exactly.
Hey, DPS is DPS.
You know, sometimes you run out right before you get the kill. Yep. You can make the difference. Sorry.
So, CJ, you had some strong feelings about Masterworks. What did you think about this edition?
Yeah, I like it. It was one of those things where I wish it had been there from the beginning because this is a little bit of the – it's not a random roll. It's not that same kind of chase, but it is a chase, and it's some kind of end game to PvE and PvP. It's not as effective for PvP, which I wish it was. Like, getting 2 orbs, I tried it, and it does show, and you have to run to get the orbs, but in PvE, it's awesome. Link and Green, crushes. You just mm-hmm. pick up orbs galore.
That was your first drop, and that's the one you wanted.
I went to the Cryptarch, and I was like, I wonder what this thing's going to be like and how many I need to buy. I bought one, decrypted it. It was Lincoln Green, and I was like...
But it was your first, like, legendary Ingram, and you got a Masterwork right away.
You got incredibly lucky.
Yeah, I did, because
I... Did you see more consoles?
I saw Alan go through, I think, like, 1,500 of them, and I was like, ugh. Gunsmith materials.
Yeah. Can you clarify? You said it's not a random... role, but it is, right?
No, it's a random, it has the ability to be a perk stat, or a stat. So usually it's only like speed reload, handling, a couple of things, but it's only one of,
but it is random
stats.
On those five.
It is random.
But it varies by weapon type.
But the issue is when people are calling it perks, the reason why people are getting a little upset when people say that is because perks are usually like Firefly and, all those kind of other things. So it is
a really cool
stat. Yeah, I didn't say perk, but just for clarity, it is random. Yes. So there is a grind.
Yep.
And you can reroll.
You can reroll for 10 cores and 25.
No, that's not accurate. Right? It's three, friend.
Three. Oh. Yeah. Three. Oh, sorry. I don't have it yet. You reroll the perk. Sorry.
Once you have the Masterwork activated, which does cost 10, you can reroll.
Then you can reroll that for three. I understand.
And it either drops as a Crucible one that tracks your kills in Crucible, or a Vanguard one that tracks your kills and how many enemies.
And that takes 10 to reroll.
And that,
which is a lot.
If you want to track PvE versus Crucible,
And
that's what I was trying to clarify. But it is still random. Like you could end up, say, getting handling like five times in a row. Might cost you 15 cores to get it.
Yes.
So it is random, and so hopefully there is that. Yes, I wanted impact on my whatever.
100%.
Hopefully we get there, that there's some god role out there that has not been discovered yet.
My origin story has range, so like I'm good to go. Like the only other one would be magazine.
A range impact, on a hand cannon or
For my origin story, I believe I got a range stat.
No, I know. But impact, I feel like range and impact are at least for PC.
Less solid.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not talking PvE. I'm talking PvE. I don't care. I just want more bullets to shoot at the bad guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, we should talk about that. Like, you touched on it, but actually orbs in PvE is huge on this.
Unbelievable.
It might arguably be the main reason to chase Masterwork weapons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
Orbs in PvE?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And right now I was saying like the meta game that's interesting is that what I was trying to explain to you just before is that when you're killing a boss now or you're killing adds, you kind of do it a little bit differently where normally you'd go after one. Now you go, okay, I'm going to weaken this guy, I'm going to weaken this guy, and then make sure you kill the two of them close together. So it's a nice little game that happens when you're trying to, produce orbs.
Chasing orbs now. Yeah, I think it's great. And we needed orbs so bad.
I know.
Especially for the raid lair. It's going to be, I think if you're really into the raid lair, you're going to be chasing that your favorite weapon you like to use as a masterwork.
Yeah.
Bring a hunter. Hunter helps a lot. You can tether up those enemies.
Orphe's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Busy all day long.
But shotguns or rockets, those are going to be the ones that impact the most, that kind of thing.
Like going with rockets with cluster bomb.
Yep.
That's a good tip.
Boom.
So overall, I mean, can we rate Masterwork like a 1 out of 5 or like,
sure.
Is it thumbs up, thumbs down?
Well, let's do out of 10. That makes more sense to people, I think.
All right.
It's a solid 6.9.
It's hard to rate out of 10, man. But okay, sure.
True.
I'm going to go with, it's too early to say.
Oh,
there's the fence sitter. Bran Mirabella sitting on that fence.
It's good. I like that it has.
So far, yeah.
I like that it gives you that additional option. I feel like it could be a little more interesting. You bring up Cocoon and Firefly, and I'm like, oh, man, those are cool. These are just like, one more shot.
Yeah, it's the thing that it should have been there, I think, at launch. It was one of those things that's missing. But I think it has potential for what could come down the line.
Yeah.
It's funny. It feels like what you thought mobs were going to do almost.
In a way, yes. Yeah.
What are you, Duggan?
I'll give it a 5. I think orb generation is really cool. That's like the only – I don't really care about tracking kills. I have the ghost for that. But I agree. I feel like the stat mod thing should be more impactful and more interesting, and that's where they could really have fun. Kind of to your point about mods earlier.
Mm.
You know, you go on your spiels about mods, but I agree. Mm-hmm. They could be cool.
Getting there.
All right.
Getting there.
The next activity that's coming up is the Dawning. That will take place from December 19th to January 9th. The Dawning is an event where the tower becomes covered in snow, as well as the farm. You can throw snowballs at your friends.
Do hockey.
Just for fun. Hockey, apparently. Is that
hockey?
Real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hockey instead of
puck. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was real.
That's right. It's a big – but it's like a big – puck you slide around the whole tower,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Mayhem is back in Crucible, and there will be weekly milestones in the Dawn.
What you just brushed over that?
Ask like somebody.
Mayhem back in the Crucible. I'm getting through everything that's in the Dawning. Fine. Then we can talk about the bullet points.
All right.
Yeah, and then you can get Dawning gift schematics at the bazaar. Travel to other worlds to craft unique gifts for the vendors and agents in the tower and beyond. Those are available each day of the Dawning. So you're excited about Mayhem in PvP.
Mayhem's back.
Explain what it is.
So Mayhem is basically Destiny 1. No. Yeah, you basically get like unlimited super ammo.
Okay.
Yeah, you have, yeah. And nades.
Yeah, so,
well, a little bit
so it's like a modifier for Nightfall, but in PvP.
Yes, yeah. Like Daybreak. Yeah, so you just get your super really fast and your grenades really fast and your melee really fast. But it's fun, and it is chaotic. It is very much – they had this in Destiny 1, which is crazy because in Destiny 1, everything was already amped up.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see kind of what modifier or accelerator they put on that.
Did they downgrade the lightning nade or
the pulse?
Striker pulse?
Yes.
Is that downgrade? They did, right?
Yeah. Okay. I got a little –
it's still going to be full of those nades.
Oh, still great.
Yeah. But, it's still great. Yeah. But that's what Mayhem will be like.
Yeah.
Excellent. It's a bunch of slamming and lightning. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
But so, just hearing about it, Duggan, are you excited to try out PvP with this modifier?
Nope.
All right.
Ooh.
I'm not playing PvP anymore. You can quote me on that.
Ooh.
Why?
Done.
For now.
They're not, Bungie is not interested in providing a consistent PvP experience, and therefore I'm not interested in committing my time to it.
Is this mostly about your trials disconnects?
About my three ruined flawless runs?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably part of it.
So I do,
it's also an intermittent, you know, it's also an intermittent consistency thing. This mm-hmm. is a developer who's been creating FPSs for a very long time, and I expect a certain level of quality. No. This is all off the
cuff. He said it like 14 times.
I have not said this once. I've heard him get upset about
a certain level of quality in terms of their network, right? This is something you have a ton of experience with, and I'm not getting that in Destiny 2. I can get it in Rainbow Six Siege. I can get it in a bunch of other games right now. But for the level of crazy that I want to go with Trials, the game can't really support that.
Yeah. Getting DC'd on PC in Trial is ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, I have to agree on in that respect because I don't even want to play Trials anymore. I lost two cards, and I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I never want to go back.
But that's
the teammate gets kicked.
Right.
And I'm just like, I'm out.
That's the big red exclamation point. But the smaller stuff is that even when you are connected and you do make it through a match, it's a very inconsistent experience, right? I'm just down on peer-to-peer connections. Like,
you're saying it's laggy?
Yeah, I'm saying it's laggy. I'm saying it's inconsistent. It's laggy some games. It's not others.
Yeah, and this is on PC. Yeah. So
this is on PC. And there's a level of quality that I think we expect from a shooter like this, especially in a 4v4 setting.
Yeah.
And it's just not there. So I am 100% out of PvP.
Except for Trials, I don't take PvP that seriously. I just kind of hop in and have fun.
I wish I could think like that, but I can't.
Well, except for in Trials, I go into like sportsman mode, you know, where like I'm super aggressive. Well, I'm always like that. But
rage mode? Death?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's true. It has been.
I want a consistent experience. Yeah. But for, you know, Mayhem, I'll hop in and play a few rounds. Why not?
I don't care. The PvE, though, I'm way up on the PvP.
Yeah.
PvE. As of last week, that Riddler is fantastic. If they can continue to put out that kind of content at a somewhat steady pace, I will come back to Destiny 2 and play that group PvE.
So we don't know what it is
for a while.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
We don't know what it is, but there are going to be weekly milestones that you'll still be able to chase in PvE. So that should be something for you. There's armor sets that you can get. They look akin to what the Destiny 1 armor sets look
like. The Dawning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the Dawning. And and we'll see what the gifts are available each day. That's pretty generous. We don't know too much, but I'm excited to see what they do with the Dawning this year.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. The events, like, I love the redesign of the tower. I think, more than anything, like a special emote, the snowflakes, the lighting, and like all that is a very welcome change when you've already been playing the game for 3 months. So I do like that. Mm-hmm. I find the rehashing of quests and things like go here and collect these things to get your gift. Like, I don't really enjoy it. I get that it is meant to just be, hey, if you want this, whatever, this is kind of a quick way to do it. But from a gameplay perspective, like, yeah, I have never found the events to be that enjoyable. Like,
Guardian, go over there and get the thing and then go over there. And
I'd be chasing a mask, you know, but meaning I don't, that's where I get into chasing stuff. And if, the mechanics themselves are just either rehashed or drawn out, I tend not to like it. So yeah, like I think what I'm thinking about in the back of my mind is I really like Argos as boss design. It's what I just want pieces of that in enemies. Like, right? Like Argos is a really complex timepiece because it's a raid, and that's how I always refer to the raids. They're timepieces. Everything has got to be in place at the right time. And I get it. But can't you just have some of the mechanics from that boss just on other enemies, like bosses?
Like
we talked
about,
we talked about the curse bosses. And I know that's not our current topic, but I would like to see more of that. Meaning content for me is the way I'm fighting these enemies. And, like just mix up some enemies. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go back and refight some of the curse bosses as part of the Dawning, just twisted or, so I don't know how hard that is, but,
I think that's a challenge with just the campaign in general. When you play it, like Destin and I crushed through it and I said last week's show that I was kind of disappointed in how it was. And then that was before we did the raid layer. So I'm not sure why there can't be more mechanics based type stuff. Even in a single player or in a social space or you're doing, you know, public events or whatever. I hope they would lean a little bit more into doing that.
Yeah, seems like all the mechanics are multiplayer based, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, I think that's awesome, but like, why can't I just shoot it here, then shoot it there, and then, like, I mean, you do kind of get that, but not really. It's not that complex until you get to a raid boss.
The fact that the weapons where you do the packages, the new weapons.
The Forge.
The fact that those are do 30 strikes and get the parts you need and then buy a thing, then dismantle the thing, then activate the thing. It's just dumb and convoluted. And it's like, really, that's how you want me to experience getting this weapon? That's how you want my memory to be grinding 40 strikes, getting parts?
But it is an incentive.
Why is that fun? Why is it fun? You literally collect things.
Explore content I haven't explored. We for the longest time, I was on my high horse about incentives and like they put it in the game. I don't think it's the best iteration. I think like, number one, whoever named those stupid items, what are they called?
Versus and
Versus.
Radiolarian, Cryptarchian, Quartz, Quozark, the third.
Why?
Just have me do 40 strikes, right, to complete this step one. And then step two is this. I'm fine with them incentivizing stuff.
Names.
Like, I just, yeah, I mean, that part, like, why do I have to convert it into this strange currency?
And that's my complaint about it is that they had this quest in Destiny 1 to get your sword. You basically had to go around and collect materials and then you would just be able to buy your sword.
Yeah.
And it's just weird. Like, give me a memorable experience for getting those weapons as opposed to, oh, I gotta go grind a bunch of strikes that I've played a million times and you get the same, like, four strikes over and over and
over
again.
I do think that we had that in the exotic shotgun from the raid.
Acrius.
We had that. Like, go here, do this one specific thing. It's really hard. That felt good.
I like that one.
I think they were missing that continuing strike and heroic strike grind.
Yeah.
And they have it in the game now. I don't think that can be debated.
The real problem with this right now is like there's not enough content in the game to rehash yet.
Yeah.
Like as we extended into the third year, like there was more places to go and do things, but like meaning to your point, you are playing a lot of the same strikes and getting a lot of the same things. Like all I'm getting at is I think the mechanics which they've learned and developed over time, they're a little more limited now. Like there's only, you know, a couple raids and a couple strikes overall.
Each weapon has a little bit of a story to it. So why not have me do something that relates to that story? Like maybe I have to do a specific strike and then they change up the narrative a little bit. There's a lot more
content
that
has to be created. I think I'm gonna stand by my initial assessment of we wanted incentives to do strikes. They've given us an incentive. There are incentives to go do a specific Nightfall thing with Acrius. There are other to go on missions and the new missions and there's new content there. That's cool. I wanted incentives for old content and we've gotten that now. It's a little bit longer of a grind than people were thinking, but I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with it if the weapons are in.
Yeah, like let's be careful because when you attack sword quests, I read a bunch of the comments all the time and everybody's like, hey, don't do that. We actually really liked
the sword quest sucked. People are nuts if they thought they liked that. You liked running around in a circle and collecting spin metal for 3 hours.
Maybe
people. Nobody liked that.
Some people.
Bungie. Nobody liked that.
Let us know in the comments below if
you
liked the sword quest. No, I didn't. Maybe like that part of the quest.
No,
but the part of actually having something to grind for is largely what was missing from all of Destiny 2. Mm-hmm. And it's not about necessarily, you know, what you need to do in this specific thing. You play the quests, you play the raids, you play whatever, you progress towards something, and then you get an item. That was missing for the last 2+ months because we're just trying to increase light level.
Yeah, I think it's great.
So it is good.
Like, I have not done them all. I don't know if the weapons are any good, so I really can't comment on that part. But I'm glad they're there. It's a mechanic that should not surprise us. You go back and you do stuff, the incentive is now there, and I agree. Like, I don't mind that. Like, okay, I gotta go through this and do this thing to get it. It's not the most fun in the world, but it's better than nothing.
I think the part that I take issue with is that, like, once you get 10 of them, you basically go to a vendor, you buy a thing, and then you dismantle the thing, and then you buy another one, then you dismantle another one, and then you just get the weapon. It just – that part seems just like a little like, why am I at the vendor?
Sure, sure.
Like, why am I turning these in and then dismantling or infusing? Like, it's just strange.
But what about Destiny 1 did you really like then? What is it that Destiny 2 is not doing that Destiny 1 did? And you're like, hey, do that.
Well, that's a whole episode.
Well, it is. But I mean, to me, it's like they're moving, I think, a little bit in that direction. Everything from Masterwork weapons to the quests to getting more incentive. I mean, they even basically said, hey, guess what? You know, don't grind public events anymore, more or less.
You still have to do some public events.
You do, but they're basically taking away that incentive for you to go, hey, I'm just going to do public events for an hour straight.
I don't want to do that anymore.
Well, that's what I mean, right? So that's good. Like, you have to do strikes, do some campaign stuff.
Those are good points. They have incentivized, in a way, to do other events.
Yeah.
True.
But I still think it could be a little bit better.
Sure,
I agree. Always.
I have a question about the Dawning. Is this going to affect the Eververse? Will there be limited... Oh, yeah. Bright engrams, like you have 2 weeks to buy this bright engram, and then it's going to go away.
Probably.
Oh, yeah. I want to flick off the camera right now. But
I mean, the Dawning armor is, I assume, included in bright engrams, right?
What's weird is that the Halloween and Dawning events were really what kind of spurred the whole Eververse thing. Yeah. And so.
Oh, wow.
They figured it out.
Well, that's.
They figured out what Riot Games figured out in 2009. Good job, guys.
This is the challenge, I think, with some of the comments and the feedback that we're seeing online, is that now that a lot of the loot is tied to Eververse, it doesn't feel as genuine, and I think that's where people are upset. When you feel like you want to chase something and you can only get it by a Bright Engram.
Screw that.
Yeah, that's totally a hard thing.
And I feel like we covered that ad nauseum in the last episode about our problems with the Eververse and the fact that there's so many weapons there.
Yeah, actually, maybe just to clarify, because I was remembering, don't they normally have, like, Dawning Armor can just drop from, I forget, wherever, but then they have separate Eververse-only items that they add. I think that's what they used to do in some of the past ones. So we'll see.
Yeah.
They've only shown us that one set of Dawning armor, I believe. So
we don't
I think
have
there's
details.
More to it.
Here's an idea for these events, and I'm sure there's something like this in the game, but I would love kind of a short, intense grind for a specific thing, an example being in Overwatch when they have the Christmas event. May had a snowball thing, and you could go in there, and if you completed all these challenges, like land 3 shots in a row, don't die in 3 rounds.
It will be like that.
Then you get specific... really cool. It was a spray in Overwatch, but it could be armor or an ornament or whatever.
I think actually the armor will be like that.
You could have a sparrow that's not part of Bright Engram.
But there are Eververse items. Like, actually, there's usually emotes, and so you'll find something in there.
Cool. That sounds a lot like what the milestones are going to be for the Dawning, Duggan. Like, go do a specific task and you'll be rewarded.
All right, cool.
Yeah, go get 10 headshots in a strike. And actually, maybe before you move on the factual rounds, can I ask, did you guys already cover that they moved Prestige around and all that? Was that in last week's episode?
That's kind of what the Faction Rally section is about how Bungie
you haven't talked about the big change.
Addressing the Prestige mode. So one of the big critiques in the review is that they basically got rid of Prestige mode for the Nightfall and for the Raid for people who bought the base game. They are fixing that. They are bringing those things back, and that is good.
That is good.
I don't think they should have made that mistake, and I don't know how that mistake happened. So you don't get a pass.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of like me continuously forgiving them, being like, great, the game is moving in a better direction. You're listening to feedback. You have to stop making mistakes, though, at some point, or else I'm just not going to believe you. Like, you can only cry wolf so many times before I'm just going to, you know, plug my headphones in and listen to Five Finger Death Punch.
That's exactly how the community feels, too. They're just like, okay, you've had enough chances. Get your stuff together.
Yeah, right.
Well, and then in addition to that, the faction rallies are being adjusted. They're basically canceled until it's available to all players. They're also doing the same for Iron Banner. And that is actually what the last topic is about. It's not just about faction rallies. It's about the adjustments that Bungie is making to make the game a better experience for all owners, regardless of what version of the game that you play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was what was the thing you wanted to talk about?
No, I forgot. Actually, it's a good reminder. We have shorter amount of time today, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it was compressed. But no, I think it's worth reading. There are two bullet points of why they said they did it previously, locking prestige. The normal Leviathan raid and normal Nightfall would always stay at a power level that was accessible to all players. That was originally a goal. And prestige would always rise to the new power cap. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be the pinnacle of the challenge, but therefore would require you. So, I mean, it's a simple explanation, but it's like, it is a huge oversight.
And to me, that just makes me even more angry because it is a ridiculous excuse. Make a third tier drop down that is relevant to the most.
That's what they
DLC,
said there.
And make a middle tier that is relevant to whatever
also,
content.
That's what they're looking
their
into.
Their entire game is scaled. I do not understand, right? I went into the raid lair at 313, let's call it. And everything dropped relative to that, 5-10 levels higher.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could have that, and you could have a harder version of that, and they could both drop the same light level. There's no reason that that couldn't happen. So I hate about this is that – that sounded weird. But what I dislike about this is that they are now being like, okay, well, you guys don't want it this way. You have to have it this way.
Yeah.
And now 330 folks, like – you know, can no longer experience
I agree that I
get rewards from it. Just scale it. The rest of your game is scaled.
Yeah. I was confused by that too.
That's not a possibility.
Nightfall for now is the only like absolute top level drop. Right?
Yep.
Like I haven't done it yet, but does Leviathan not, it won't drop like a 335 or whatever? Regular.
Well, does at the very end.
That's what it says.
Not at the very end now?
It did originally. Now they've adjusted it. So I have no idea.
Normal? I guess we have to
figure
it out. But I feel like prestige, it should just be a level of difficulty, not a light level requirement, period.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what the exclusive.
But the issue is that, right. And so now they're obviously trying to avoid what happened last time within Destiny 1, where they make a new raid, and then all of a sudden, as soon as the light level increase comes out, that raid's obsolete. So.
Just scale it.
Right. Scale it. I hear you. But now there's achievements attached into the certain things with prestige because of the way they've coordinated
just
that in the PlayStation.
It there.
I know. I think the obviously, you know, thing is in a third tier, like legendary tier.
Boom. Yeah.
Now that's the one that scales. So now you have three options for each raid.
Sure. Or just scale prestige.
Right.
I feel like that's easy.
Because it's already scaled, CJ. So if you don't have the new DLC, don't give them drops that are 335.
Sure. And it will be as difficult whether I'm 260 or whether I'm 335.
Mm-hmm.
It's just scaled. Like the prestige will still be difficult regardless of my light level.
Yeah.
Obviously, lower light levels have less lessened pool to choose from in terms of weapons and exotics, so there's a disadvantage there.
Yeah.
But that's an incentive that I think is okay for them to purchase DLC. And
I think that ultimately, I understand an issue why they did it. What I'm saying is I think that they could potentially do another tier of like different enemies or different things they encounter, have it something totally different, and set the expectation that this new thing will require DLC only, which they did not do.
They say they're exploring that. I forget where I read that. I'm pretty sure I did.
Probably from them. So one other thing I want to bring up, they also announced, and this was a little upsetting to me, Destiny Osiris comic is coming and you can read it. It sounds like it's going to be a good comic. Why isn't that in the game? The Osiris story is one of my biggest critiques about Osiris, and I'm wondering why did they make the decision to put it in there. It's a webcomic that you can read externally. Maybe it's their new grimoire system. At least it's a comic book this time, so it's a little more interesting.
Yeah.
But like the Osiris story was the weakest part of that campaign. And you're telling me you have a whole comic series that you're going to sell? No!
Well, here's
the thing. I'm not as mad about it.
Make better stories in your game.
So I think
it's a short comic. That's what we know so
far.
If
you
won, I don't really care.
I think
you have a renowned writer writing a comic series, and you gave us
Ryan
the
North.
Story that you gave us with Osiris.
I think your point is valid, you know, having played Curse of Osiris.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
It deals with time travel.
But what we don't know is what will be in the comic yet. I mean, I know I'm always Mr. Caveat, but I would hope it is not a super gratifying origin story.
Oh, so it will be.
If it is, I think we got a real problem. Like,
will you be less salty if the comic sucks? Like, if the comic sucks too, you'll be like, all right.
Well, I think it's about amount of content. Whether or not you like the story is maybe.
Now we're in a different medium altogether now.
No, but meaning if there's a lot more like story content, it is something we ask for in the game all the time. And I think we all agree, don't we, that there didn't feel like there was enough story. It felt cut off in Curse of Osiris.
It's going to be hard to disappoint me more than the story of Osiris disappointed me, Duggan.
I just have low expectations.
But here's also what I'm thinking, like the way it's described, it's an origin thing. So it's like this is his.
It's about him. It's not his relationship.
It's not
with
the campaign in Curse. Yeah. It's not those missions. I should say. It's whatever happened between Ikora.
You're telling me these acclaimed writers with awards couldn't have figured out a way to do that within the Infinite Forest space, which deals with time travel and different realities? And
well, they could have. Whoa, no, it's
you mean make like really nice flashback cutscenes that you could watch and it tells the story? Yeah.
Oh
that's
my
not
god.
Bad.
What if at the end,
great,
you right clicked on it and then the comic shows up in the game?
I mean, it's Curse is literally about time traveling. What if it showed back in time?
Oh, what if you went to the tower when this stuff happened?
And you got memories.
Yes. Dear God.
Sorry. Anyway. We clearly want more story.
Yeah, you were not here last week. Yeah, Destin was a little disappointed in the campaign. I mean, we kind of all were, but it is one of those things where I remember you reading that. You're like, did you see this? I'm like, what's the matter? You're like,
how are you feeling on the vault?
Oh, God.
That's got
to fix it. Fix the vault. I don't want to yell into the mic.
Oh, my goodness.
Have a collection system in the game. Do I have to go to Destiny sets to see how many, what I still need to acquire? Come on.
Sorry.
It's good. That's a button.
It's like,
happy holidays.
That was the perfect timing. He was all riled up.
Yep.
Oh, can't wait to read your comic.
Powder cake.
But I probably have to. No, it's free, right?
Well, what if
that would be free?
What if a guardian in the comic opens a vault and it has 600
vault space?
They just have collections tabs. In their vault. In the golden age.
It is definitely free. Yeah.
The golden age of Destiny.
I will say, I think that it was a weird last week for Destiny. And even being at PSX, talking to people, Robert Medina, gotta give him a shout out. Mm-hmm. We talked to a lot of people.
It's like, hey, what did you think of Osiris? Same reaction.
Same reaction. They were a little bit underwhelmed, but it was funny to hear that each of them say, okay, well, I really want to give it a chance. I'm still playing, just not as much. Saddest thing is people are just like, hey, I miss my crew that I used to play with.
Yeah.
And so that is a huge part of what's missing right now.
I don't like talking to fans and hearing them sound deflated.
Yeah.
Basically, they're just like, oh, like I want to like it, but there's too much. There's a point where you've given so much.
And that's the thing. They're still right there. They're going, okay, we're excited for this Masterworks. We're a little bit disappointed in Osiris, but there's some things, again, we haven't explored and we don't want to I don't want to give away. So there's a key thing about Osiris, spoiler warning maybe, but I think there's some things coming up that I think hopefully will be excited about. Well,
his dumb face.
Well, no, but I don't know.
All
right, let's spoil.
So we need to wrap it up really quick, guys. We're approaching the end of the show. I did want to say that I definitely respect the developers at Bungie. If I knew who to be mad at, like if it was Bob in accounting, Bob, what are you doing? Stop. Because those guys care. They definitely care about what they're creating. They care about the world. And it's just because, I've spoken to them at enough events and it is so frustrating to see these problems because they play the game. They're experiencing the same thing. I just don't understand why they can't come to a consensus internally and figure out how to make these adjustments.
I think they're a little bit further ahead than we are. Obviously all the feedback that they hear day of and start working on and it shapes the future of their game. So I'm sure we are kind of working in a little bit of
a
void or detriment and kind of shouting into a vacuum at some point, because I'm sure that this feedback is at least informing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I do think that they have made a few too many mistakes at this point for me to kind of continue being invested in the game.
Well, yeah. Luke talked about that, right? It's not like Masterworks they just put in the game in two weeks.
Yeah.
It had been there for a while and I'm sure it was one of those decisions they argue about, right? And that is exactly what happens. Some people want to do it, some don't. They got to make a decision. They made some bad ones. Now they're fixing it. Will it actually fix it? We don't know yet. But do this week feels different to me because at least I've got Masterworks to review. I've got more Forge weapons to get. There's new weapon drops. And I'm curious to see where the meta goes.
Yep.
They've got to fix stuff though.
Disconnects
and trials, getting it back to where it needs to be.
Yeah.
We used to play every weekend. Yeah, my crew, we don't anymore.
Here's the thing for me that I want from Destiny.
But at least it's got a little more momentum where it was sinking.
We do have to go, guys, so don't get me off.
The last thing that I want to say is what I want from Destiny 2 in the long term is I want them to have three solid, large expansions. I want them to take Destiny 3, push it back to 2022 or whatever it has to be, because I still need my experience in Destiny 2. You can fix all this stuff just like you did in Destiny 1. I'm not going to buy Destiny 3. Screw that. Get out of here, paper.
Get out of here, 3.
Very dramatic.
Because
as it floated away slowly.
It needs woo. Yeah, it needs to show me what it is, and it needs to maintain that for longer than 6 months, longer than a year, because I will not buy Destiny 3 even if the third, the, you know, the big expansion is great. No, you did that the last time, right? You were setting a precedent, and I'm going to assume that you were going to cater that in the future. So I think they need to take Destiny 2, Rainbow Six Siege, and be like, oh man, this game has to stay around for a while. We have to fix it, and we have to support it, and we have to show people that we have good intentions beyond making a quick.
Oh, you're in for an interesting 3 years, though, Doug. I mean, it's not like it's around the corner. I mean, I hear you, but meaning we see their trend. I think we feel behind the curve, but they do make a lot of changes to Destiny. And to your point, they did throw it out for two. And I think that's the problem. It feels like we regressed.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Last thing. I think the PvE has taken great strides this week. So I don't want to be too negative because I've played more PvE and raids and a bunch of different things that are slowly, you know, bringing some of that grind back, which is, that's what we asked for.
I've been having fun running strikes too.
Me too. PvP, I will say though, you know, a little less salty about, you know, than Duggan, but I've received a lot of disconnects in trials as well too. And I think overall, just that PvP gameplay, the consensus is it's still stale. I think Mayhem will bring people, you know, back to check it out and then go, hey, tune the game to be more like that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this, you know, is a new mode. And there's been rumors of maybe other modes coming too.
I'm sure. Yeah. There's data out there.
Yeah.
My last thing, and then we're going to sign off. Just to everybody at Bungie, we want to love Destiny. We don't want to come on the show and complain about it every single episode. And I think that's the sentiment that we heard from fans when we were at PSX. And yeah, just keep working to improve it and hopefully by Destiny 3.
Oh, you know?
So Duggan stays. We got a fantastic game.
I think the communication, that's been better.
Yes.
Don't let that go because that's what we need. Yeah. We want to believe that you're listening, like you said, that we're not too far behind the eight.
Could get better. It definitely could get better, even in the next few months. So we'll wait and see.
All right, guys, that's all we have for this episode. Until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.